Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With the first pick.
It's the first pick.
First
pick on the Jeff Buchanan Show.
17 years ago, 9/11 now.
Wow.
Never forget, man. That's the one thing, too. Never forget. Somebody else brought that up last night, that it has become a little... I've said this before, I go on this group of radio guys, and someone who I like very much and respect quite a bit was like, yeah, I'm not even going to talk about it tomorrow. And thankfully the group exploded, was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, you can't, this isn't political. You know, this isn't, it's not, 9/11 is not politics.
No, it's not.
So the idea of just kind of blowing through it. Now, on the other side, I don't want this today. I don't want today to be all 9/11 all the time either.
And so, sad. And it's, you know, no, it doesn't need to be, because, like you said, a day of service, a day of remembrance, because we don't want to forget what happened.
What's your... So there's two ways we can go on the first pick, which, by the way, this thing might be rigged today. Just tell it by, depending on who calls in. I'll tell you straight out. Here's the story. If Tay calls in, Tay wins.
Okay.
You'll understand in a minute. You'll understand in a minute. It's a longstanding tradition, and it's always interesting to see if it's going to happen on the first pick.
Okay?
Got it.
However, A, where were you when the planes hit? Kayla.
Seventh grade, I was doing morning, like the morning news, and I was sitting at the anchor desk when it came down on our little, yeah, like our little, like, breaking news monitor.
Was that like 9 o'clock for y'all?
Yeah.
So they did it that late. When did you guys start school?
We started at like 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning.
What? Uh-huh. Oh, man, Florida's a weird place.
Yeah.
Florida's a crazy place. And then you did your morning announcement news thing later on, once you'd had time to prepare and
we
all that.
We basically, right when that happened, because I was in the newsroom and we were doing the news as it came down. And then we went back and I spent the rest of the afternoon in there, and they said it was fine. Don't go back to class. Just keep. And they kept
Yeah, they
on.
Send y'all home?
They didn't. We stayed there, and then parents could come get their kids, but a lot of parents working couldn't do it, so they still had the bus schedules, everything like that, but more than half the school, gone.
9/11 predates this show, so we weren't all together.
Just no.
The short version, Spence, where
I was asleep in bed. I was, at the time, was production director. I was in charge of making the commercials and stuff for the radio station, and I got a call that it had happened, and I didn't understand what was going on. Honestly, it took me an hour to figure out, until one of the towers came down, and I'm like, oh my God, the whole tower came down. I didn't understand it.
Wow.
I really didn't understand
it. Oh no, we didn't either. Well, I thought, I remember, and at the time we didn't have a TV in the studio. There was really no reason for it. It would be a distraction. You know, that was the thought process.
Okay.
But we did have one. And also, it was kind of a luxury then. You know, in 2001, it was still a luxury. Oh, you're going to have a TV in the studio. Ooh. Well, they only do that in New York, you know, places like that. But we had one in that production room, in the room where Spence made the commercials. And we would turn it so that you could, and it used to make Spence really mad if nobody went in and turned it back, because he'd have to come in and turn it back every day. And I get it. It's disrespectful. But I was just kind of leaned back and saw a hole in the side of the building. And I just thought maybe it was like a traffic plane or something like that. Yeah. And not long before, there had been a traffic helicopter that had had an issue, that had gone down. And so I thought, oh man, not this again. And then as it goes along, here's the thing I remember, because it was, you know, you got TV but no sound. And they never took the picture down. I remember thinking that. We were on the air, kind of a before the show situation, because remember that first one was before 6 in the morning. And I just remember, why are they leaving this picture up so long? And then that's when it, and then it was all hands on deck,
things
and people's stories. And we stayed on till 5 o'clock that day.
Wow.
Stayed on till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I remember, and then a couple of days later, I remember, and I'll just never forget this, walking out and seeing the first plane fly overhead and thinking, man, things have changed.
Right.
It was kind of like a Red Dawn thing. You ever see that movie?
No.
Red Dawn. I'm trying to think of another time, you know, where it was like, oh my God, are we going to war?
Yeah.
You know what
That's
I mean? Is this how the world ends?
Yeah.
So, in any event, 702-364-9898. You can tell us where you were or what you were thinking or something that happened, whatever it was. What's that one memory from that day? Because we just and then the other one along with that, then there was a vigil. Was it the next day that we did the thing at the Thomas and Mack?
The candles and the kid on the shoulders
that ended up on the cover of Newsweek.
Yeah,
that was from here in Las Vegas.
Really,
at the TNM at our thing, and there were thousands of people.
Yeah.
And it was probably 2,000, but in my mind it was 100,000.
Right,
you know what I mean? Oh, the entire parking lot was filled. Yeah, probably not.
That was the impact of it. Yeah.
There were a lot. And I remember being up on stage and being angry and determined. So we'd love to hear your story just so you can tell it and just so we can do it. 702-364-9898 right now.
With the first pick.
It's the first pick.
First
pick on the Jeff Buchanan Show.
So where were you on 9/11? Davey, I don't remember your story. Where were you on 9/11 when the planes hit?
I was 21, and the night before, my buddy was a bartender, and he was actually training me to learn some of the bartending skills, and we were up late. And I got woken up that morning by my mom. She woke me up, is like, you got to flip the TV on and look what's going on. And I'm all kind of like droggy and going, what?
You were what?
Droggy.
Droggy.
Like just, you know, out late.
Groggy?
I say droggy.
Droggy?
You know what?
Droggy.
Go with that.
I like it.
Cloudy.
So you know
in the
what?
Head.
That's a Davey the Show Killer original.
There you go. So yeah, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was just in shock. And then I was up the rest of the day and the rest of the morning watching.
Did your family go, hey, we got to get out of the city?
No, but my mom did say, like, we sat down and we're like, okay, if something does go on, where are we going to go?
Yeah.
So we did have that conversation.
Wow.
I thought that.
Yeah.
I thought we're next.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Las Vegas, we're next. And then I forget who I talked to that went, bro, got Nellis Air Force Base right here. And trust me, they've been keeping an eye on this stuff forever. And the other thought process behind it was that if you attack the World Trade Center, America's mad at you. I mean, yes, there are other foreign interests involved.
Sure.
But if you attack the Las Vegas Strip, the whole world comes down on you. You know what I mean? Like if you're attacking New York, And you're taking a shot at America, there's a chance that you've got some other people that'll go, hey, look, I can't say this out loud, but nice job, bro. You know what I mean? That kind of vibe.
Okay.
But that if you attack the Strip, then the whole world comes down on you. And I thought that was
interesting.
I thought that was interesting that day too. But I was like, okay. So we lived in Henderson then, and I was thinking, okay, how much gas? If we load up the car, and what can we take? And still, and I was married to my first wife then. We could take kids and dogs, and how much stuff, and how far can we get?
Where would you go though?
The idea was go to Seattle.
Okay.
To go to the farm, man. It's on top of a hill, fairly easily defensible.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It was like, but that. But those were the thoughts.
Right.
Those were the thoughts, and how much water can we get? And how much can we pack? Crazy. Tell us your 9/11 story, Sarah.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hi.
I was in sixth grade, actually, in our first period in drama class, and my teacher was just acting weird. And then all of a sudden, she put the TV on, and like the room just like got silent, and everybody was just staring at the TV, and then. I just remember people started crying and I didn't know what was going on. I was like, what's happening? And so I asked my teacher, I was like, what is this? She's like, it's terrorist attack. And from that point on, I was just so scared. I had family in New York and I just started calling everybody and nobody was answering. So I was just freaking out.
I remember, was it Enforcer that was part of this show then? Or no, it was somebody, I think it was Enforcer that was looking for his daughter or something like that.
Yeah.
That and literally was part of the show all day long as we and found her. And everything was fine, but it was just living that. Oh my God, Mike worked at Logan Airport in Boston.
Oh, wow.
We'll talk to Mike in 2 seconds. Kimberly was, here's what's interesting about this for me, is I know we haven't heard these stories before. Because Kimberly, you were in LA then.
Yes, I was working in the LA area. I was getting ready for work, and while I was getting ready, I had the TV on, and then I saw the planes attack the building, and it seemed like it was going on and on repeat, and I'm like, what a horrible movie. And then I realized it was the news, and I thought, oh my God. And then at the time, they were also talking about the LA area, and I thought, how am I going to get to work? I just remember that day the traffic was horrendous. Our work schedule was all messed up just trying to get in and out of the city. But it was just like a horrible, scary feeling throughout the day
and
days after.
And you know that any major metropolitan area was worried. You know, there was talk about Chicago. Oh, sure. There was, you were terrified that this was a larger scheme, that something else was going to happen.
That more were going to hit. Remember, we were all on edge.
They didn't know.
And again, it came back to the Las Vegas thing, and then they were like, dude, Nellis is right there. Ain't nothing getting close
to
us.
Scrambling jets. We're going to happen instantaneously.
And there were a lot of jets. Remember the jets flying around?
Yeah.
Remember here there were I believe they scrambled Nellis, and it was just crazy, amazing to think about. Mike, you were at Logan Airport in Boston.
Yes, I was working on the runway lighting for a project.
Oh my God. And so what happened? When were you there already? I guess it wasn't that early in the morning for you.
Yeah, it was 9, when that happened, it was 9. They got on the planes
because
they got on from Maine. We were just working like it was a normal day, no security back then, drive onto the airport, work. Yeah. And then about 35 minutes, an hour after that first plane hit, the National Guard came and escorted us off of the property. And, we had to sit and wait for them.
Yeah. Wow. And they're taking over.
Yes, they definitely took over.
Everything has changed. Wow. Everything. How long did you have to hang out there?
We hung out for about 2 hours with them till they realized that we were okay and they let us go. And then it was about a month before we could go back to work on the project through security.
That's crazy.
Man. Wow. And then there's our buddy Tay. And Tay, I'm so glad that you got through.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, here's part of this story. First of all, why do you call every year?
Because today is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Tay.
We felt so bad on 9/11 that it was her birthday, and we were like, Tay's birthday is forever ruined. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tay's birthday is forever tainted, I guess. And so what do we do every year on your birthday?
I get San Gennaro Feast tickets.
Doggone right you do. San Gennaro Feast tickets from us on your birthday, no question about it. Here's the part that we didn't know. I've forgotten, but where did you live?
I lived right behind Nellis Air Force Base. I lived in the Eagle Trace apartment. And where my front door is faces the back gate. So when the first plane hit, immediately everything got shut down within a 5-block radius, because since all of the military bases in Southern California had just, they were closed.
Yep. Right.
So if the planes had to go up from Nellis, they were coming right up there, and it was over. And I remember waking up, and I couldn't get out. We couldn't drive. And it was like a heavy military presence, and I thought the world was coming to an end, because I had never seen the military, especially at the Air Force Base, get in line so quick to keep everything protected. And I was trapped in my house for 6 hours, and my friends drove all the way from Tropicana and Decatur, had to go all the way the back way, and that was way before the freeway back there was built. So they had to take the surface streets to come and get me.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And I literally
right.
had that's to walk right. out 8 blocks to get to Cheyenne and Las Vegas Boulevard.
Man.
And so that I can get to my family and everything.
That
but I just remember it was just crazy. And it was scary. And at that time, I was a bus driver. So when the National Transportation were looking at the news and they were trying to find people that had CDL license, because there was no planes getting out of Vegas, just in case we had to take people to Los Angeles, Texas, so, you know, yeah. that they could get out. And I just remember us being on standby for anyone that had a CDL license, but it was really crazy.
Remind me next year to give Tay her own segment. Remind me next year to give Tay her own segment, because okay. that's amazing. Happy 24th birthday. We're so glad that you're calling us every year. And have fun at San Gennaro Feast, all right?
I will. Love you guys.
We love you back. You. It's great to talk to you, and I wish it was under better circumstances. Yeah. But
great.
There's always one. There's always one. I look forward to it. Yeah. I look forward to giving Tay her San Gennaro Feast tickets. So.
And I love going in there eating and falling out because I'm all of the garlic. I love it.
Happy birthday, Tay. Have a great day. All right.
You too. Bye, guys.
Thank
you.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.